Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much your tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you would like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. Yesterday, we've been studying concerning the things that transpired in Acts chapter 21, when Paul goes to Jerusalem, knowing full well the things that would accompany him there, that the prophet Agabus signified by the binding himself with the belt and saying that so would be with the man who owned the belt. So they went to Jerusalem, and sure enough, we find that there's been a great uproar that has resulted. We read about this in verses 27 through 32. So that when the days of purification were almost ended, we read that Jews from Asia, this would be not necessarily the Jews that were the converts that were mentioned in verses 20 and 21. These were the Jews from Asia. They stirred up the crowd. They made unfounded charges against Paul in verses 28 and 29. They said he teaches against the people, against the law, against the temple, and besides all of that, they charge him with having brought a Gentile into the temple. This charge about the Gentile was based upon assumption. They had seen Paul with Trophimus and assumed that he had brought him into the temple, as verse 29 indicates. But still, the whole city is now in an uproar. They run together, they capture Paul, and are waiting to kill him. But the news of the uproar came to the commander, which we'll find is later identified as Claudius Lysias in Acts chapter 23. And he took his men and put a stop to them beating Paul in verse 32. But in verse 33 through 36, Paul is arrested. The commander bounds Paul with two chains and begins asking who Paul was and what he had done. He seems to be searching for truth about Paul. He's later willing to give up his assumption about Paul, and he gives Paul permission to speak for himself, as we later see in verse 40. But at this particular point, in verse 33, he got very little or no help from the crowd, since they were shouting different things in verse 34. So Claudius Lysias had his soldiers to take, and that was due to the violent mob, take Paul into the barracks, verse 17. The castle that's mentioned in the King James Version, the castle of Antonia, was where the guard was kept. So then they carried him away, and as they did that, the mob shouted, "Away with him," in verse 36. Paul is now being held as a prisoner while determination is being made about what he has done. But we know that he will remain a prisoner, at least for the rest of the book of Acts. As Paul is being led into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I speak to you?" The commander is curious about his ability to speak Greek, and Lysias immediately asks if Paul was that Egyptian revolutionary that led a Jewish rebellion against the Roman rulers. We read that in verse 38. Some years before, an Egyptian led his followers, according to Lysias, it were about 4,000, into the wilderness. He'd convinced them into believing that the walls of Jericho would fall down at his command, much like Jericho's walls fell in Joshua's day. His plan was to then overpower the Roman rulers in Jerusalem. Of course, it was a disaster, and the ringleader had escaped. So the commander seems to be assuming that Paul was that leader. Perhaps this is because Paul spoke Greek and Egyptian, and Egyptian Jew, at least. We find that Paul pointed out, to the contrary, that he was from Tarsus in Cilicia, verse 39. And Paul asked for permission to address the crowd. The commander permitted him to speak, and when the crowd quietened down, he began to speak in Hebrew. That is, by addressing them in the Hebrew tongue, he certainly was able to capture their attention. What he said, we'll look at now as we turn in chapter 22. Because reminding ourselves that Paul is now arrested, he's been led into the barracks, and he's been given permission to speak. It's chapter 22 that records that defense and the reaction that was made from it. Now let's begin, and I hope you do have your Bibles and the opportunity to read with me. Turn to Acts chapter 22, and let's begin reading in verse 1. This is Paul's defense. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear you my defense, which I now make unto you. And when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent. And he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest doth hear me witness, and all of the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters from the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound in Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And when they were with me, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having received a good report of all of the Jews that dwelt there, came unto me and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I'm in prison, and beat in every synagogue them that believed on you. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiments of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So here we see Paul's defense, and his defense is not merely a rebutting of the false charges, but it's an effort to touch the hearts of his audience because of his love for their souls. As he spoke in the Hebrew tongue, the crowd quietened down and listened to him. When he used the language of the Jews of Palestine, he gained at least a small degree of connection with his audience. And this address that he does contains really three points. His life before conversion, it contains his conversion, and it contains his call that the Lord made to him to go to the Gentiles. He gives in verses 1 through 5 the life that he was living before his conversion. And it's here that the apostle establishes two things. First, he was brought up in the strictness of the Jewish religion. Paul was born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but he was raised in Jerusalem. He was a student of Gamaliel, and Gamaliel, Paul mentions his having been instructed in this manner in order to show that he was entitled to the full privileges of a Jew, and that he had had every opportunity to become fully acquainted with the nature of the law. So, Paul was thus nurtured in Pharisaic Judaism, as it was interpreted by Gamaliel, one of the lights of Judaism. He was one of the seven, Gamaliel was one of the seven rabbis to whom the Jews gave the highest title, and that is Rabbon, or Rabbi. And of course, all of this we can read and study from in the things concerning secular history. But Paul was as strict in the Jewish religion and as zealous as anyone in the crowd who was listening. The second thing that we see that Paul establishes is he persecuted Christians. That's in verses 4 and 5. During this time, Paul said he persecuted the way. And Luke again uses the term the way to designate Christianity, the way of the Lord. So he persecuted the way to the point of death. Stephen was one that he helped to put to death. But there was more. He sought to capture believers in Christ and put them in prison. The high priest and the council, which would have been the Sanhedrin, they all could verify that he had been on a mission. But that mission that he was on was with their permission to find Christians in Damascus and bring them to Jerusalem to punish them. But we see that Paul's point is that he is not some renegade Jew who never really was true to his religion. To the contrary, he was as zealous as any of them. In fact, as far as his jealousy for the law was concerned, he was probably more zealous than many of them that was there in that audience. We see that our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you back to our announcer.